Lincoln. Lincoln. A new home. So many possibilities. See? There's nothing to worry about.
Warning, this show contains strong language and topics that some viewers may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey, Regular Sam. What do you think of my Suplash logo?
It changed it, Second Sam.
But I made this an hour ago. That's fine, I'll make another one.
No, it changed it again.
City and welcome from Supla City Hall. We have moved in. This is a thing that's happening. I am Andy Kwan, and we are in two different locations in the house because that makes sense. And with me downstairs, that sounded wrong. With me, God damn it, with me underneath. No, that sounds bad as well.
With that sounds worse.
With me,
that sounds even worse.
With me is Liam Dunn.
If anyone wonders where the third member of Supla City Hall Council is, Keelan is currently at work, but we can drag him in if Andy can just go grab him and just make him pop in and go, hello. And
right, then I'm going.
Go get him.
Say hi. And that's Keelan.
There you go. He is here. Oh, someone's walking past my window. This will be awkward because I haven't closed the curtains.
We're recording. That's what we're doing.
That's fine. Hello, random man. Oh, he's gone. Yeah. He's gone.
Yeah, I used to look over there. I might have to change the setup.
I'm doing it. Like, I'm literally right. Like, I'm looking out the window. That's where my computer is to do this shit. Anyway, we're in Lincoln. Supla City Hall is officially a thing. Of course, if you've been following us on Facebook, you have seen this diaries. The life in City Hall series. It seems to be going down well. They're short, like 5-minute little vlogs of stuff that we've done in our life. So go if you want an excuse to go and follow us on Facebook, that is your excuse there. You can, there's a car. I'm getting distracted. This is weird. There's so much stuff going on.
Wow. We're living in a city, Liam. There are things happening. We're like the day filter of this shit. Liam is, that's not Liam, that's Keelan. Keelan has been and gone.
There you go.
That's just what's happened.
But, Andy.
Yep.
We need to talk. There's something bigger than the house. There's something bigger, more important than Supla City Hall. There's something more groundbreaking than Lincoln.
I'm trying to close my door.
Fantastic.
I'm
just going to keep going on with this.
Close. There we go. Don't ask why I did that.
I heard that.
I tried. Yeah.
Okay.
What is bigger than this place?
It is time for the Riddle Streak!
I thought we were going to leave that behind when we moved.
Andy is at 99.
No, I'm not at 99! You made that shit up!
You're at 99 losses.
I'm not on 99. You're talking bollocks.
And two
There is
wins.
Again, talking shit.
Andy is 1 point away from hitting 100. A streak that not even Goldberg could match.
I don't have my pen and paper. Oh, God, where is that? Right, I found it.
If Andy, and we have previously agreed to this off the air, if Andy gets to 100 points, which may very well happen today, right now on this show, Andy's agreed to try some buffalo chicken wings. Now, for people
this
like
show,
me and
wait,
fellow...
What? On this show today, if I fuck up?
Well, not right now, because I need to cook the chicken unless you want it raw and die.
Don't like dying.
Living
is my favourite thing to do.
So, for people who like hot sauce, like myself, buffalo sauce isn't that hot. It's weaker than Peri Peri, for example. Like, people who are big fans of Nando's would understand that. But Andy has the taste sense... He has the heat tolerance of a newborn caterpillar. He cannot absolutely take any sort of heat at all.
I can't take the heat. That's why I have another streak.
Tomato sauce is a little bit too spicy for Andy, for example.
No, that's not true at all.
So this mild classic chicken wing sauce, buffalo sauce, that he thought was made from actual buffaloes, by the way.
That's not... You're making lies up now. You're making stuff up that just isn't true.
He will be trying this at some point. Possibly today, but we will put it on next week's episode. So, with that, I'm just going to leave this in the camera area so that Andy can see.
I can't see. I would have to go downstairs.
You can't see. You would have to come downstairs for it. But Andy.
Yes.
I've got a riddle for you.
Alright, here goes nothing, I suppose.
Are we ready?
Yes.
I can't wait.
Get out of it!
You better get your tongue palate ready. What is black when you buy it, red when you use it, and grey when you throw it away? Are you giving up? You do realise if you give up, it is buffalo time.
Well, if I get it wrong, I'm fucked anyway, so it doesn't matter. So, black, we bought red, and you use it.
Do you throw in the towel? Do you tap out the submission lock of the riddle?
So, black, and then you read it. Fucking Kindle, I don't fucking know. The end.
So, what is black when you buy it, red when you use it, and grey when you throw it away? A Kindle. Okay. But you're wrong.
Oh, fuck. No shit, Liam.
I mean, do you want to know what the answer is?
You know what? I don't fucking care.
It's charcoal. What I love is...
One moment, I'll be there in a second.
Fuck. This is not good. I will squirt him with buffalo sauce, hang on.
Fuck you, fuck your stupid riddles, fuck that stupid bottle, fuck you, you asshole.
You try and get one...
Fuck you, charcoal! What else is it gonna be? Kindle!
A Kindle! A fucking Kindle!
Why the fuck would it be a fucking Kindle?
You told me!
I was so dumb!
You said it was a Kindle!
What is this shit? What
it's buffalo sauce!
No!
Sam, you may as well cut out the fucking Mallard's thing.
Kindle.
What it is, you try and outthink the riddle, and then the most obvious answer is the one that you don't know.
I thought of charcoal, and then I said no! It can't be charcoal! I'm too stupid and simple.
Sometimes it is the stupid and simple answer. Okay, so we'll be making that tonight for Andy, and hopefully the video will be on the next episode of the show. So tune in to next week's episode when Andy gets to try buffalo sauce for the first time.
Can I ask something?
It depends what you're asking.
Is the pain over?
What, for the riddles?
Yes, is that it?
No.
Oh my god, why? Why? I've got to 100. It's official. I can't do riddles. You figured it out. Why are we still doing this?
Because you've got to try and... If you can beat it by the end of the year... Right, the end of the year is
that
when
is
we not are ending
going
this.
To happen!
If the end of the year is when
there
this
is
will
literally
end, right?
More chance of Scarlett Johansson turning up at our front door going, I'm here to end it. It's not going to happen!
You've got 3 months to try and beat 100 in your score. That is it.
That's not even
that is now the countdown. Can Andy actually beat the losing side of his streak?
Well, no.
Can Andy break the streak?
There's not even enough weeks in a year to do that. So the answer is...
We might, hang on, we might give you some double or nothings. You don't know this. Me and Sam have spoken about it. And that is why I forbade him. Or forbode him, or forbid whatever it is.
And I'm the guy who can't do riddles. You don't even know the language that you speak.
And that is why I stopped him from doing it last week, because I created this thing. I had to give you the 100th loss. I had to. That was it. That was it. Anyway, with that in mind, Andy has to prepare his mouth. That sounded gay. I need to kind of fucking rethink that sentence.
Yeah. You're downstairs and I need to prepare my mouth. Excellent.
Brilliant. Right. What are we talking about?
Fuck me. Don't shout. I can hear you from fucking downstairs now. So we are talking about TNA because it's that time
T-N-A.
Of year again. TNA. It's that time of year again where we talk about TNA. Because there has been major news since we've decided to move. Dixie Carter has decided, oh hey, I've had enough of this. And has decided to quietly go away. And is no longer a part of TNA Wrestling. Instead, replacing her is Smashing Pumpkins lead singer and bald man. He's very bald. Is Billy Corgan. That's his name. And yeah. Liam, we have been salivating and waiting for this day to come for a very long time where Dixie Carter is no longer a part of TNA Wrestling.
Well, I think...
Now
I think
this happened, how do you feel?
Well, I think in order to kind of justify the reason why this is a positive move for TNA and possibly something that can help them now grow as a company, is we kind of have to... We have to get the black box of Dixie Carter's TNA career. We kind of have to look through where everything kind of went wrong. TNA was on the up and up for a number of years, especially in the sort of mid-2000s. I'd say 2005, 2006 was kind of the peak of the company, which is sad because that was 10 years ago and it was only about a four-year-old company.
11 years.
And that was its peak. Well, I said 2005, 2006,
oh,
so
right,
I think it still counts.
Okay.
And then TNA was bought by Panda Energy. And Panda Energy, I forgot his name, I think it's like Bob Carter or some shit like that.
Panda Carter.
He's owned by... The what? Who?
Panda Carter.
Panda, brilliant. Anyway, Panda Energy... I was going to say Panda Carter. Panda Energy bought TNA.
Right.
And the guy who runs Panda Energy kind of handed TNA off to Dixie Carter, who was his daughter. And that is kind of where things started to go a little bit weird, a little bit wrong. And I would say that that's where they started to put a little bit more emphasis on former WWE / WCW guys.
Right.
You know, when you think of 2005, 2006, the guys I think of TNA is AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, Samoa Joe, Kazarian. Those are the sort of guys that I think of when I think of TNA in its heyday. Then, sort of around 2007, 2008, you have people like Christian. Yeah, okay, he debuted in 2005, but I think the point still stands because then you got Booker T, you got Kevin Nash, Kurt Angle, Scott Steiner.
The Dudleys.
You had the Dudleys. All of these former guys started to come in to the point where they actually made a stable called Main Event Mafia,
okay.
Right?
Here's the thing about that stable. If done correctly, that would have worked.
Yeah.
But it wasn't done correctly. Like, there was no payoff. It was just...
And that's the thing, it was...
It was the Main Event Mafia fighting from within. It was like, well, that's just...
Well, that's the thing. It wasn't the Main Event Mafia being fought against by another group of...
Youngsters
wrestlers.
Or something.
Yeah. It was just kind of them fighting within each other. And this is the problem that I have with TNA. It's like, you can kind of... make an era of TNA out of each major stable they've had. Like, they had Main Event Mafia, they've had Fortune, they've had Aces and Eights, they had the Hardcore guys from ECW. Like, You see what I mean? Like, they are fucking obsessed with stables in TNA.
The issue as well is that Dixie decided, for whatever reason, even though she has she's got about as much charisma as the next average person who lives on our street. She decided to make herself an on-screen character in, like, 2010.
She decided to become Vince McMahon, basically. That is the thing. And I remember, because me and Keelan went to TNA in Coventry, and she was there, and she was in the crowd interacting with people, which was really cool at the time. I mean, you got to remember, this was 2008, so this was when, like, Booker T was there. So this is kind of where it started to go on the decline. And this is the thing. The problem is that, you know, it kind of did what WCW did, which was focus too much on older wrestlers from former promotions who weren't wanted there anymore. And it made the product, to me, it made the product kind of look like a washed-down WWE or a WCW 2.0. You know, the guys who you wanted to see, like AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Christopher Daniels, you know, the guys that I mentioned who were the big, you know, influences of the time, they were kind of just put in the mid-card. They'd every so often be put in the main event, but then they would have to do the job.
Yeah.
Because the main event has had to look strong. And that's where it started to kind of go, you know, you can see the controls are being a bit played with, like something's going wrong in the cockpit. Then the engine fucking catches on fire in 2010 with the hiring of Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan.
And
that is literally when, if you do the timeline, that is when the engines failed.
Yeah, and the problem is that anyone else in the industry, or the average fan, or any person who knows anything about wrestling would be like, do not, under any circumstances, hire Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan. Here's why. Because Bischoff, for those who think he's a genius, he had infinite money with WCW. I think anyone could have been like,
I will tell you what it is. Bischoff is a controlled genius. He's very smart and he knows a lot. He can do some great things, but when it is left to his own device, like, it's the same with Russo in a way. Now, I know we have talked very critically on Vince Russo, but the guy was a writer during the Attitude Era, which was its peak, probably its peak time aside from maybe the 80s, right? But the thing is that Vince Russo was limited, and he should have been limited, because you saw what he could do when he was unlimited, when they just kind of went, yeah, do what the fuck you want. Yeah, let's have Judy Bagwell on a pole. Yeah, that's a great idea. Whereas in WWF, during the Attitude Era, he was controlled, right? Vince McMahon said, no, that is fucking stupid. Really? You want to put the WWF title on China? Really? You know, that's the sort of thing.
This is the key difference, is that Dixie, either through lack of experience, lack of knowledge, or just being gullible, or just not seeing the... just being deluded, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Mm.
She didn't see that Russo's an idiot, who, if you give him...
If you give him
full reins of your creative, he's going to churn out shit.
They had at TNA pay-per-views, they had the crowd chanting Fire Russo. Sorry for the random lights, by the way. Cars are using our street to turn around. We've discovered this.
Excellent.
So I'm getting a load of headlights on me.
But the problem is, not only that, Dixie Carter did a shoot interview, and I saw a clip of it where she was like, I would fire writers who would say Fire Russo and stuff like that, and she would do nothing about it. And it's just like, right, so if you know that your head of creative is someone who is who needs controlling because he comes up with wacky and strange off-the-wall ideas, why didn't you think, maybe I should control this guy or just get rid of him? But then by the time they actually got rid of Russo, it was too late because, you know, TNA was in shitsville as it was. And then they brought in Bischoff and Hogan, which Dixie obviously didn't learn from the past, that if you keep hiring all these people, it's not going to help. And she was gullible enough to allow Hogan and Bischoff to convince herself, oh hey, if we go against WWE on Monday nights, we'll win. We'll kick their ass. And we'll also bring in all of my old friends like Val Venus and the Nasty Boys and Rob Van Dam and all these people, and it would go great. And no, it didn't. Because any person with any ounce of common sense would say, no, that's fucking stupid. Don't do that. You can't even get out of the impact zone. What are you doing? No. Stop doing that. But no, obviously she just didn't
What it was, I think the best way to kind of describe it is that the problem with Dixie Carter is when a big name says that they're interested, she kind of just bends over and loops herself up for them. Do you know what I mean? Like, she would just let them do whatever they wanted. Like, that's why Hulk Hogan had a... I think it was Kevin Nash or somebody said... actually, it might have been Mean Gene Okerlund, who said, you cannot give talent creative control.
Yeah.
Right? But she would do that. She would give Hulk Hogan creative control.
Again, WCW all over again. She's a part of the industry, and she doesn't learn from what people have done in the past. Like, WCW do that. They give people...
If you don't learn from history, you're bound to repeat history.
And unfortunately, that's true. Like, it's a well-known phrase, and it is a well-known saying. But not to Dixie Carter, apparently.
Right? When you think of TNA during the heydays, like, what is, like, the most signature thing to you? Like, I mean, I might have a slightly different opinion here, but... When you think of the 2005-2006 TNA, what is the signature thing that really set TNA apart in your eyes as a fan? And I don't mean like by talent, I mean like just production-wise, like what looked different?
Not the first Bound for Glory, but the second one they did, where it was like in Detroit and they actually went outside of the Impact Zone and they had like Sting and Jeff. I think Kurt Angle joined the company at that point.
Not quite the answer I was looking for. I was going to say the six-sided ring. Right?
Yeah, okay, fine. But I mean, like, around that time period was like, this company looks actually different to everything else. And
well, that's what I mean. The six-sided ring, whilst it had been used in Mexico, in North America, it was
not
a different thing. No one had seen that, and it really gave TNA a signature. It made them look different. It made them look alternative. So what did Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan do? Turned it into a four-sided ring. Fucking fantastic! Genius! That is fucking amazing! Wow! I can't actually believe that! You get rid of their most fucking famous signature thing that really sticks TNA out, and you just turn it into WWE just on a lighter schedule. Like, on a lighter fucking look.
But this whole thing gets worse. Because once Dixie allowed all these things to happen, then she was like, alright, Hogan and Bischoff are gone. I need to be the heel on screen character.
Yeah.
Which was one of the worst things I've ever seen until Final Deletion just recently. I was like, Dixieland and all this was just horrendous.
It's a ladder match on the fucking stage.
Yeah.
Like, they had to start in the ring, and then they had to get a ladder, and they had to take it up a stage, and then they had to, oh, what the fuck? What is wrong with just a normal ladder match? Why do you have to over-gimmick everything? Why, like, a reverse battle royal? Why isn't a normal battle royal enough? Why a reverse... Who gets into the ring? Who is like, I have to get... Like, it's a reverse steel cage. Andy summed it up perfectly. You don't see animals trying to get into the fucking cage. Why would you try and fight in to get... Oh, I don't know.
This is the thing. Like, Dixie... This is a perfect way that Dixie can be described. Paul Heyman appeared on the MMA Hour, not just recently, like a couple of years ago or a year ago, whatever it was. It was like in 2010, so roughly the same time that Hogan and Bischoff came in.
Yeah.
And there were rumors and rumblings that TNA had contacted him to come into the company, which would have been just superb. Problem was that Dixie was not going to allow Paul to have a larger stake in the company. So, Paul Heyman goes on the show and just says, well, what happened? And he basically says that he likes Dixie as a person, because she's lovely, she's nice, and she's easy to get along with and all that, but she's not, that's not good enough for business. That's not good enough to be a promoter or a leader or anything like that. And he literally just says, she's too nice, she really is. And I feel like that's kind of her biggest fault, is that in an industry where you've got your Hogans, and you've got your Bischoffs, and you've got just all these personalities and egos and people who have an agenda, almost politicians, and being too nice is not good enough. And that's why Vince is successful. That's why McMahon is successful, because as much as we have a go at him going, have some fun, damn it, and all that, if someone, you know, said, oh, I want to come in, I want to win all your titles, and get them off, you know, one of the biggest stars we have at the moment in Samoa Joe, you'd be like, Vince would be like, well, no, fuck off. This is my company. If you don't like it, there's the door. And Dixie would be like, yeah, Kurt, we'll give you all the belts. Like, what the fuck? And it's stuff like that where I think Dixie was too nice, and she just lost control of everything because of it. She lost control of her own product, and then once the financing from Panda Energy went down the toilet, she would promise people that surprises every other week just to try and get people to watch. It's just, once you do that once, people see through all that shit. And I don't know how she stayed there for so long, but it's a fucking miracle that she was there
the next stage, I think, that really kind of put TNA in the position that they're in, weirdly, I don't actually think is their fault, right? WWE made the network.
Yeah.
What came along with the network?
NXT.
NXT. NXT basically became WWE's version of TNA. NXT became this brand that was basically all about the wrestling. It was WWE owning the alternative brand to their own thing. It was young guys. You'd get the occasional big name, but it was actual big names. Like, you would have the WWE champion, CM Punk, show up. You would have John Cena show up. Like, NXT became this brand that people were just drawn to because it was new stars who were just desperate to show off, finally, in front of a crowd, in front of an audience of potentially millions, as opposed to FCW, which was, like, 30 people, and only got shown in local networks.
In Florida.
Like, yeah, in Florida. This was suddenly a worldwide thing that could be viewed by millions of people worldwide. And you can tell, if you watch TNA grow, you can see in fucking TakeOver Brooklyn, where it was streamed live more than SummerSlam this year.
Yeah.
Right? NXT became about the wrestling and about these young guys. And then they were getting bigger views than TNA were through the network than on TNA was getting on their net, on their distribution deals or whatever.
And that's the thing is, and then on top of that, people from TNA were leaving to go to NXT.
Exactly.
And that's the thing as well. It's like, they would be happy to be in a developmental contract than be in TNA.
Yeah.
And the thing that's the real kick in the dick is that every year it's like, oh, TNA is going to lose their TV deal and TNA is going to do this and that. TNA was on Spike TV.
Yeah.
One of the biggest networks in the United States.
Yeah.
And now they went from Spike to, was it Destination America?
I think there was something in between that. Wasn't there Pop at some point?
No, Pop is now. This is Pop.
Oh, is it now? Oh, right.
Yeah, and I don't know what the viewership is exactly, but
I guess
there's
the
more
thing.
Subscribers to the network than there is people who watch Pop.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was either last year or 2 years ago. They had only been on Destination America for 1 year, and they were already getting kicked off. It looked like they didn't even have a fucking television deal, and if they didn't have a television deal, the company was dead,
yeah.
Right? Not to mention that they just didn't... When NXT came and started taking all their stars, TNA did nothing to try and win the audience back. They didn't make any interesting matches. They didn't get any interesting stars. Okay, I'm not Andy, right? I understand that what I just said is that they didn't have any interesting stars, right? I know that sometimes you have to have a big name in your company to bring attention to it. But when you make a fucking stable out of those big names and just focus all your storyline on them, that's when there's a problem. You can have a Ric Flair managing, I don't know, AJ Styles. You can have that. But when you focus it on Ric Flair facing off against Hulk Hogan, that's where the problem lies. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But there is room for older stars in newer companies. There is room for older stars to bring ratings. But when you just try and rehash something that was seen on WWF television in the late 80s, in early 2010s, we've seen it a million times. It's not something new.
And
Ric Flair versus Jay Lethal, that's something new. AJ Styles versus Jay Lethal with Ric Flair, you know, mentoring him, that's something new. Do you see what I'm saying?
But the issue is that they're kind of at a point now where, okay, as much as we don't want to talk about this because it's I think it's the worst thing in the fucking world. Broken Matt Hardy and now broken Brother Nero is at least different, but now it's kind of got to a stage where they have to now rely on almost the like the room level of
If you go back and watch like our reactions to Final Deletion, I think that's pretty much what I said. I said it's the room of wrestling. I loved it because it was so stupid. Like, yeah. I really enjoyed it because it was ridiculous. Now, for me, I'm quite okay with that, right? And I think it's a way for TNA to survive. You're this far deep. Just see where the rabbit hole goes.
But this is
Who cares at this point? But this is the thing.
Like, yeah, but I think they could survive on doing stupid delete.
And whatever you say, right? I know you hate Broken Matt Hardy. I know you hate Broken Matt Hardy. But when at WWE events they're chanting delete and doing the gesture, TNA seems to be doing... Oh, Matt Hardy. Fuck TNA. Matt Hardy. I never thought I'd say this. But I think it was the first episode of this year, of this show, I said Matt Hardy, worst wrestler, not gonna... Like, I already said that his match with EC3 was the worst match of the year. Right? I've already said that. I think I said I was going to vote him the worst wrestler of the year. Right? I'm doing a 180. I'm telling you now, spoiler alert, Supla End of Year Awards, Matt Hardy is my pick for the best wrestler of the year. That man alone, a fucking alone, has brought eyes onto the product. Right? He has... I haven't seen TNA. Like, I haven't actually sat down and watched anything from TNA in, I don't know, really about 4 or 5 years. Like, probably sat down and watched an episode. Matt Hardy was the first time I actually actively looked for a segment from TNA.
But this is kind of half the problem, which we might as well go
and
on
even
to...
then, sorry, here's another thing. The problem is, as well, TNA's not even on the fucking ball about that, because if you wanted to watch Final Deletion and you weren't in America, you'd have to watch it on YouTube. But guess what? Guess fucking what, Andy?
What?
TNA didn't have the bright fucking idea of uploading it onto YouTube until about 24 hours later. So guess who was getting all the views? Random people who had recorded it off their television and stuck it on YouTube.
I don't think they're going
to... That was about 500,000 views they missed out on!
Yeah, I think they're not going to make that mistake again. But I'll move on to the next topic. Is that... Alright, Dixie's now gone.
Dixie is now gone, yes.
And there's been a man who has been a part of TNA for quite some time now during this whole Final Deletion kind of thing. He likes to play guitar and sing. And he's in a band that, quite frankly, I don't know if anyone cares about anymore. He's very bold. And he goes by the name of Billy Corgan. Now, Billy Corgan, for those who don't know, is a rock star. And also, he ran his own company in Chicago called Resistance Pro Wrestling, which I don't even think exists anymore, which gives me no faith in what he's about to do. But he is now essentially the president of TNA and owns a majority stake in the company. Do you think that anything's going to change? Or is this broken shit going to be the future of what they were going to do? What do you think this guy is going to try and do? I mean, and he's also single-handedly saved the company. I mean, they didn't have enough money to do tapings at one point, and he financed the tapings.
Slammiversary was nearly cancelled.
Exactly. So, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think anything's going to change? Do you think that this whole broken, oh, we're really wank, but we're going to keep doing it just to get some people to watch? Is that what we're going to see from now on?
I think, to answer your question, yes, I think we will see change, right? I think someone's looking at me out their window. Hello? I'm just going to wave.
No. I've closed my curtains.
The curtain's fucking open.
Like, I've closed my curtains.
Yeah, I kind of wish I did do that now, but fuck it. I'll move into the office for the next episode, I think. Anyway, I think Billy Corgan is going to... I think he's going to be much different to Dixie Carter. I think he's going to do a good job. And I think this because one major difference between him and Dixie.
And that is?
Billy Corgan is a wrestling fan. Dixie Carter wasn't. Now, I'm not saying that wrestling fans know how to book shows. If I did, we'd have our own fucking promotion, right? We wouldn't be sat in a house right now complaining about TNA. We would be booking something and fucking making shows, right?
Barry, I'm saying we have all the answers right now.
Exactly, right? You fucking hear that. So I'm not saying that wrestling fans have all the answers. But wrestling fans treat the business much, much differently to people who have no interest in it. Look at... I think the best kind of way to put it is, like, look at WCW during its dying days. Ted Turner was a wrestling fan, right? WCW just only really got its break because of him. It was kept on the network. Even though it was dying, it was kept on the network because of him.
Yeah.
And then as soon as the merger happened with AOL...
Time Warner.
And he lost a lot of his...
Control.
WCW was taken off the air. Yeah. Wrestling fans have a much different opinion on the product than those who don't.
I mean, the other thing about the Ted Turner thing was people were wanting to get rid of it even when it was making money because they didn't want it. And Ted was like, I like wrestling, I'm keeping it on, I own this fucking thing, I own CNN, I own the Atlanta Braves, I own fucking everything. No.
But if it wasn't for Ted Turner, the Monday Night War would have never happened.
Yeah.
Would never have had the Attitude Era. What would have happened to WWF? Would it have still been the early 90s? Oh, everyone's got a gimmick. Look, it's a guy who likes to play hockey.
I think farmers.
Like, is that what it would have been like for the rest of the 90s? Heck, is that what it would have gone into now? That's what I mean. Ted Turner was a wrestling fan, and he has a fuck ton lot more money than Billy Corgan.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? Like, Billy Corgan is a wrestling fan. I think that he's got a chance, maybe not to turn it around, but to do something different. He treats it with a bit more respect than Dixie just saw it as a money-making thing. For Billy Corgan, this is much more of a bit of an ego project. And I say it in a more positive way than usual, in that this is his company now, and he's a wrestling fan. He wants it to succeed, right? He doesn't want it to just make money. He wants it to be a product. At least this is my perception. He wants it to be a product that he wants people to watch.
Yeah.
Not just buy merchandise, buy pages. He wants people to take it seriously because he's a wrestling fan. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he does think, oh, maybe if I turn it into The Room. I mean, Matt Hardy's halfway to being Tommy Wiseau at this point. May as well go fucking further. Let's see how far we can push the boat. Like, maybe that is what he thinks. But either way, he's going to do what I think is going to be good for the company. I think this is a very, very positive move. Especially after all the money Dixie's lost, the fact that the company nearly folded the night of their fucking Slammiversary pay-per-view.
Yeah, maybe it's because I'm a bit of a pessimist, but... And I'm not denying that Billy Corgan could come up with some very creative ideas, but unfortunately, I think the iceberg that was Dixie Carter has done its damage, and I think no company in the world is more damaged right now than TNA.
No, I
to the point where I think TV networks wouldn't want wouldn't want anything to do with it if Pop turns around and says that we don't want this anymore.
No.
And I think that, okay, Billy could do some great things, but I don't think it matters. I think the ship is like that. The water is like nearly up to the back of the boat, and it's going down, and they're
still. I'll tell you
and now Billy's on the top of the boat, is one of the people playing the violin, going, "Well, this is good, isn't it?" And that's that.
No, I'll tell you what it is, right? And we've said this pretty much from the beginning, right? We've talked about TNA's demise and prophesied it. We've pretty much prophesied it from this show since day one. And we have always said the one thing TNA is a toxic brand, right? The name TNA, the name Impact Wrestling, is toxic, right? Frankly, I think at this point, you kind of just need to rebrand it. I'm not saying have to fire anyone. I'm not saying you even have to fire anyone in the backstage. I just think you need to change the branding.
Yeah, I mean,
get rid of Impact Wrestling. Turn it into Billy Corgan's Spaffle Cakes Mania.
I would watch that.
Maybe not that. Maybe not that.
Okay, well, if you just call it World Impact Wrestling or something. Like, I don't know, just don't have TNA anywhere near your product, and I think you might be all right. I'm not saying do a fucking total reboot like WCW did, because that was never going to work anyway, because it had Russo, basically, the brains behind that, and of course that was never really going to work, because it's Vince Russo. It wouldn't work. What TNA need to do is a reboot, but not in the sense of, like, delete everything.
It's not a reboot, it's a rebranding. Remember, okay, let's put it this way, right? Here's one for the 90s kids. Here's one for the 90s kids.
Okay.
Andy, do you remember Opal Fruits?
Fuck no.
Brilliant. This is Keelan. Hi, Keelan. He's just popping in.
Delete!
I can't hear you. I've got my earphones. What do you say?
I said delete.
Delete. He says delete. Bye, Keelan.
Bye, Keelan.
We miss you on the show.
I've locked my door. Whoops.
Keelan from out of nowhere. Fuck, what was my point? Okay, Opal Fruits. You don't remember Opal Fruits?
No, I don't.
Okay, that's interesting. If I say the word Starburst, would you know that?
They exist, yes.
Yeah, that's what Starburst was originally named.
Fuck me, that's awful.
What do you mean? I don't
Opal
get...
Opal Fruits. What the fuck idea would...
Well, that's what I mean. Like, it's a bit of a weird name. And then, like, Opal Fruits to me sounds like an old person thing. And then they just renamed it. They didn't even rebrand it. It's the same colours, the same fonts, the same flavours. But they just changed it to Starburst. And that is a bit more youthful. That gave it a name that I think kids, who were clearly their target audience, it gave it a name that kids were more interested in than Opal Fruits. No kid says, I want a bag of Opal Fruits. Kids say, I want a bag of Starburst. Because it's Star! It's Burst! It's Extreme! Look! Kids! Colour! Shit! Not shit.
Wow.
That was a bad...
Wow, okay.
That was a bad word.
I'm gonna picture the actual boardroom meeting for Opal Fruits. And Liam's there going, right, we need a new name, guys. This is shit. It's not going well. Right. I'm thinking star something. Star, burst, star, colours, star. Star shit. Yeah, star shit. That'd be good. And
all the colours are brown and it tastes like dog shit.
And they go, Liam, no. That first thing you said, Starburst? Yeah, fuck it, we'll run with that. Not the shit flavoured sweets you just come up with.
I was going to say shit-flavoured chocolate.
Yeah, that's called,
That's just called shit.
Dairy
that's
shit.
Just called
dairy.
That's called Hershey's. Sorry to the Yanks. But fuck me, I don't know how you can eat that.
Yeah,
shit.
I'm not going to lie. I understand that America has different climates, but your chocolate tastes like shit.
It's not to do with climates. It's got nothing to do with climate.
No, because it could melt in one place, but then, like, in Chicago...
That's
no
way!
Why do they have shit chocolate then?
Okay, back in the day, when they didn't have refrigerators, they would have to fucking transport milk, and that's why, because the milk they had to use, it wasn't the same kind of milk that we use. That's why it tastes different.
Who knows American history, knows anything.
Surely you remember the fucking New Coke fiasco, right? They'd rather have something that tastes like shit and has always tasted like shit than to try and rename. Wow, actually, you know what? There you go. Maybe a rebranding wouldn't work. We just touched on New Coke. People would rather have the shitter tasting thing that has been shit for a long time than the newer thing that tastes better but has replaced it.
It depends what you're rebranding, though. Like, Opal Fruits is basically TNA. Like, no one would want Opal Fruits. No one wants to go near Opal Fruits or eat Opal Fruits or watch Opal Fruits. So no one wants to eat TNA, watch TNA. But if you go, there's this new company called World Impact Wrestling, and like, well, okay, let's have a look at this. So maybe a rebrand would work. But, oh, then again, it could be New Coke. But it's better to rebrand and try something different than just do the same thing and just continue from where you left off, because it's proven in the past that if you keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect some kind of different result, that is insanity. And you've got to do something different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise, that ship is going
to... But do you think he will do anything different? Because I can't say for sure, really. Like, I can suggest a rebranding, but... I mean, I think at this point it's a bit too early to know if he will change anything. Like, he's just basically acquired the company.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to see a change within, like, 48 hours. That's not how it works.
I mean, I don't know what he's going to do with it. I mean, I would, if you think from a creative standpoint that if he's come up with people like the Decay and this broken stuff, going into Bound for Glory, the Hardys are kind of, like, quasi... Like, I don't know what they are. Are they tweeners? Like, it's really weird. So, and they're against the Decay, who are heels. So it's like, what? So maybe we're going to see more of, like, tweeners and stuff, which...
Shades of grey.
And also, they're bringing in the Grand Championship, which is, like, almost an MMA-level kind of championship where there's rounds and stuff like that.
Yeah, hang on. Before we say that, though... It's not quite the same, I get it, so don't jump down my throat when I say it, but do you remember the Brawl for All? Like, that sort of world, it doesn't mix. Like, it's wrestling.
Yeah, but...
There's a reason why it's wrestling.
If you try to make it more legit and kind of... Like, I've been an advocate for trying
to... Yeah, more legit next to fucking Brother Nero and Broken Matt Hardy, makes sense, yeah.
I meant, like, the grand title. You know, if you try and do something... Again, it's something fucking different, at least, but, right, like... Okay, I'd rather they just try different things than just do the same, let's hire WWE people all the time. Like, with...
Okay, that's a fair point.
Yeah,
that's
so with this grand title, sure, it's got like a round system and a point system and stuff. Cool! Fuck, try it! Like, if it doesn't work, fuck me! This country, British wrestling had rounds and stuff like that, and it seemed to be fine. I mean, it's different.
Yeah, but I don't think that style, personally, I don't think that style would work now because it's been so Americanized. Like, you know, a lot of the people who, in the UK, like, I never watched World of Sport. Like, that was before my time. It was before your time, you cunt.
Yes.
Right? Don't fucking say it! I know where you're going, don't say it. I don't want to imagine that.
Oh, I was going to say it twinkled in my... Dad's eye, what were you thinking?
I thought you were going to say sperm.
Well, I'm not going to talk about my own father in that way, you sick bastard.
Well, good, that's why I said don't do it. Anyway, most of the wrestling fans in England are so accustomed to the American style, which is very flashy, gimmicky, high-flying in a way. Like, Will Ospreay, that's why he does so well. Like, people like Big Daddy... Would they work now? Like, unless they made them monster heels.
I'm not talking about going full.
No. But what I'm saying is that it's been so Americanized that it wouldn't work with the whole rounds thing.
But
and that's why. Unless
you make it more like MMA in the sense that I've been.
Fuck off! No! Stop saying everything in wrestling should be like MMA.
Stop jumping down my throat. Wait. Can you let me finish, please?
No.
I would be an advocate of having things like TKO finishes, like we had in at SummerSlam, and stuff like that. My door's locked, so you can't come in. Because it's unpredictable. It's different. Fuck me, people complain that everything's just too predictable and the same old shit. I've just given you a gem of an idea, and you've just gone, nah. So...
Was it a gem of an idea, though?
Yes,
was it?
It's different, at least, for fuck's sake. I mean...
It's different, but different doesn't always necessarily mean good.
Yeah, I know, but I'd rather they try different things. I know different doesn't mean good. Look at this broken shit. But at least they're trying to do something different. I ask Billy Corgan, please do something different to what anyone else has done before. Because...
So just copy another sport?
Yeah. It's not... what. No, you're just implanting bits from other sports and trying to make it, like... come up with something else, for Christ's sake. Because one of the things that made WCW boom was, oh, I don't know, the fucking NWO, which was a revolutionary idea that was nicked from Japan. And, like...
Yeah, but it was still wrestling.
Yeah, but Brawl... I mean, like, there was...
It was... No, he didn't just think, oh, I'm going to bring in David Beckham and have him kick a football around
in
the ring.
I'm not saying, like, go full MMA, because that's not going to work. But, I mean, like, take some ideas from it, like... Maybe the presentation, or maybe...
No, hang on. Your argument doesn't make sense because you said about the NWO, but that's still wrestling-related.
Yeah, but...
You're now saying
it's taking a completely
different sport.
Yeah, but the problem was, in 1997, UFC was banned everywhere. Like, it's not the same. Like, you got to try different things, and you have to look at, oh, what's successful somewhere else? Okay, can we implant that in what we do? Okay, if we can, let's try and do that, or we'll claim it as our own idea. You know what I mean? Just try and, like...
Well, in that theory, surely TNA should open a theme park because Disney World's doing well.
No, I meant... I said if it can work with...
Yeah, let's... You know what? Let's have a ring and wrestlers, and then round the outside, a roller coaster.
No, I just... You don't...
Because it
works. You don't listen to a word I say. I said if it works within the realm of the fucking industry that is wrestling. I'm not saying stick a giant motherfucking roller coaster in the middle of the fucking ring and make it wrestle a motherfucking roller coaster. That's not what I just said.
Well, it works in Disney World. We'll have a roller coaster at TNA events. You know what? I bet if they made a little fair around TNA, it would work. Like, go full carny. Go full on fucking carny mode, like it was back in the day, back to the roots, and have a fun fair. Make TNA, like, don't just market TNA as a wrestling brand, market it as a fun fair thing, and have it that travel the country. Then you can have a roller coaster based on Bobby Lashley. It could be the Whiplash. Boom! Got it! There you go. You can have the teacups called... The Magnus isn't with the company anymore. The Bram Cups. That works, right? Yeah, sure, I'm going to go with... You can have the Dodgems.
Shut
this
up!
Could be... You could call the Dodgems the marks. Like, you got to hit the marks. You get it? Got to hit the marks. The spots! You could call it the spot. You could call the Dodgems the spots.
What?
And then you've got to...
In the fuck?
I'm just taking ideas that have worked in other industries that could work in the realm of professional wrestling. You said that. I said that wrestling was originally a carny-based thing.
Oh, in a ring and in a match. Fucking idiot. You're a fucking idiot. You take everything I say and you make it stupid. Even if I come up with good ideas, you make them sound stupid.
You were all talking about a roller coaster in the ring.
I wasn't talking about a fucking roller coaster.
On that note, we may as well quickly, whilst we've got a little bit of time, may as well quickly talk about Alberto Del fired, or left, actually. He didn't get fired. He quit on his own accord. Former world heavyweight champion, I don't know how many times, but former world champion Alberto Del Rio gave his notice to WWE back in July that he wasn't re-signing with the company. It was reported that he had an out clause in his contract, which he signed last year, in around, I'd say, September, October time, so about a year ago.
Yeah.
He had an out clause for the company after 1 year. He somehow managed to wrangle his way out even earlier. He was not happy with how the company had treated him. I can understand that. But at the same time, I've never been a fan of Del Rio. I think he's an unmemorable character. He's never put on an impressive match. I've never been impressed with his performance. The character isn't. It's very. It's just like a Mexican DiBiase. That's the way I've always seen it as.
Yeah, but even he lost all that years ago. I don't know what he's just.
Well, that's the thing. He had nothing this time.
He's just a Mexican man. To the point where he's part of the League of Nations as a Mexican.
The Mexican,
like,
yeah.
That's it.
He's terrible on the microphone. He's not very talented in the ring.
His character's boring. I can't say he's not talented in the ring. He's good.
I would disagree. I can't remember a single one of his matches.
Is he an unprofessional dickhead at times? If you could see.
Oh, he's an absolute. He comes across as a cunt.
Yeah.
Like he's like I can't. I'm not working there. They don't offer me enough money. Fuck off. You are not The Rock, right?
Yeah.
Fuck off.
And right? Not only that, like he single-handedly would beat the piss out of the old Sin Cara and stuff like that, and any kind of like Mexican star, he would make them try and like, but you try and make him look bad. I think he tried to make Kalisto look like shit. He's just a dickhead. And
yeah,
if you add the whole Paige thing, which I don't want to go into because it's their personal lives, we ain't TM fucking Z, but like, he just comes across as a knob.
He does come across as a knob.
I don't care.
And then he obviously handed in his notice that he was leaving the company. And then he got suspended a few weeks later. Some are saying that there's some sort of inside job going on here.
If you looked at him, and if you go, like, I don't know if Sam's going to edit this in, so I'm just going to click anyway. If you see a picture, like, side by side of Del Rio before, like, right before he quit last time to now, there is a significant difference in the way that he looks and stuff like that, and I'm not suggesting he was on anything, but, you know, it does look a bit different, so I can see why he would fail the drug test.
And on top of that, we may as well, again, we're not TMZ like Andy said, but we may as well talk about Paige, because they're connected through their relationship. But it's also rumoured that Paige is also going to be done with the company very, very soon. Honestly, I can't say I'm surprised. Meltzer, things are happening, Meltzer.
Yes.
Just has kind of said it's not that Paige is going to quit, it's that the company have been not that impressed with her, the way she conducts herself. And you can kind of see that in Total Divas. I mean, I know Total Divas is completely scripted, I get it, but she comes across generally as, like, immature.
Yeah, and the problem is, as well, is that Paige is what, our age?
She's a little bit younger than us.
Okay, okay. The thing is that you're going to throw this all away, and I'm not in love right now. That's not entirely true. But like, you're going to be willing to piss this all away, being in WWE, and being so young, and I'm not saying that she ever left or was fired or something, she could never come back, but she is so young. But are you serious that you want to piss this all away for a guy who may or may not cheat on his wife and seems to be a bit of a dick? Hey, I'm not gonna like say,
and
I'm not gonna question people's personal lives or what they want to do, because that is so sad. Like,
well, here's the thing, right? I think WWE has been very negative on Paige's relationship with Del Rio, and I think she's kind of landed herself generally in hot water. This suspension hasn't helped. You know, her attitude, her immaturity hasn't helped. From what I've read, I don't work for WWE, in case Paige watches. I'm just reporting what I've heard. Not that she would ever watch this, but you know what I'm saying.
You never
know. But WWE apparently hasn't really been that happy with her relationship with Del Rio, which is funny because they're okay with some relationships, but not others. Like, the Bellas can shag John Cena and Daniel Bryan, but you can't have Paige and Del Rio together. And apparently the warning shot that WWE gave for them to end it was by splitting them up in the brand split. That obviously didn't happen because, you know, if you have sex on tap, you will keep sex on tap. That is a fact. Not that Andy would know. But they didn't split up. Sorry, Andy. They didn't split up.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
And now Del Rio's leaving. He's obviously not happy with the company. He will not... I highly doubt Del Rio will be going back.
No.
Ever to the WWE.
And the issue is that... this is a shitty situation all around, really, because if you were an employer, why would you be like, oh, I don't like your wife? I'm sorry, what? Like, if you were married and had kids, I don't like your wife. Divorce her. How?
Or you're going to get fired.
You're going to get fired. Well, fuck off. So I can see their point of view as well. It's just like, I don't like your girlfriend. Okay, if you don't dump her, you're fired. Fuck you, asshole.
Like, surely that's illegal.
Yeah, like, this is what I mean. This is coming from a company that fired somebody on his wedding day who's fighting on Saturday night. Like, stupid things
like
that.
This is the thing. This is why people... there's theories that there's something, like, this suspension that has been handed out to these two, there's something deeper about it. Because they also got suspended on the same day as well. And they said that they've been suspended for different things, but they've never actually said what for, which is different to... I mean, I thought that was what the wellness policy was for. Like, the whole thing was that they have to say why they've been suspended.
Yeah, that's
the idea. And yet it's never been released about these two. It's never been released why these two have been suspended. The rumour saying that Paige was on, like, dietary drugs, but Del Rio's has never been confirmed. Paige hasn't been confirmed, but that is what the rumour is going around as. They get suspended on the same day. WWE doesn't approve of their relationship. Del Rio's leaving. They think Paige is immature. I speculate there's something bigger at work here between this.
Yeah, no, originally I said that I didn't, but I'm starting to think that now, yeah. It's kind of like, this is too much of a coinky dink, really, isn't it?
It is.
And it's a shame, because if Del Rio was given the right push and everything else, he could be good. And Paige is very talented and really young, so she has a future with this company if she decides to get her act together or whatever she wants to do, I don't know. But is this guy worth your job? Is basically what it comes down to at this point. And if you think the answer is yes, then okay, good fucking job. But the guy's an asshole, by the all accounts, and you. It's weird. How old is he?
He's in his late 30s, I believe.
That's weird. Whatever.
So, with that in mind, we forgot to do comments, so...
Do you want to go find them?
Can you do it?
Okay. Everybody's talking at me. Okay, Bollock Club vs. The Shield says, Yo should do more episodes like this, meaning Carmine on his own, without Andy.
Drunk. And without Andy, yeah.
Drunk Carmine knows... John Carmine shows exactly why he's the co-host. Well, he spelled the wrong. Super co-host of the year award, LOL. We need more drunk Carmine match breakdowns from Lazy Paradise. More drunk Supler. Drunk. Everybody wants us drunk. And,
I think that's the gimmick we're missing. I think we need to do shit when we're drunk.
Yeah.
Just try and explain wrestling when drunk.
Yeah, I think the consensus is everyone doesn't like me, and the consensus is alcohol makes this even better.
There you go.
Fair enough. Everybody's talking at me.
So, we may as well end the show there. So, thank you to everyone who has watched the show. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. We're doing live in Super City. In fact, I forgot to record the latest episode tonight.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's half eight. We better do it soon. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram as well. We post things on there sometimes.
Sometimes.
I think.
Yes,
we have a website, super.com. Go and look at that. We also have Redbubble. Go and buy shit, please, for the love of fucking God. Sorry, I don't mean to pander, but, like...
Buy our things!
Just buy our shit, but come on. Just buy our fucking
shit. It's good quality things. Like, it, your
it's
t-shirts
good quality shit. It's hefty shit.
It's not like a WWE shirt where you wash it 500 times and it just fucking fades. These are good quality shirts, people. Good quality shit.
There you go. So, I think that's all the plugs. I'm not sure. Is there any more?
We're on iTunes. And also, if you search for us on Facebook, Twitter, all that, you said that.
I've said all that. Yeah.
It's all good.
We can't do this. Sam should know we can't do this bit. You know what? Sam should just do a pre-recorded thing just saying this bit because we can't do it.
That's about right, yes. So,
yeah.
This has been the first episode right here in Supler City Hall. I have been Andy Kwan.
And I have been Liam Dunn.
And I have a spinny chair, so goodbye.
I think you nicked from me, by the way.
No, that's my chair.
I think you nicked it from my
room. It was here when I got here.
You nicked it from my room.
I didn't!